Hello and welcome back to another episode of Online with USU. I'm Jessica, and today I'm joined with Daryl Harris, who helps oversee the Student Money Management Center. So Daryl, can you kind of give, I guess, a background about the Student Money Center, what it does, what it's for?
You bet, yeah. Several years ago, Utah State, they had what they call a strategic enrollment management plan. And so they got together and they thought about all the ways that they could help improve the students' situation or you know, as they go through school. And one of the main things that came up is over half of our students, college students in general, stop attending college because of financial reasons. And so they thought having a student money management center, a place where students can go and get financial information, financial literacy information, and just help with good old-fashioned budgeting, would really help students to be able to persist through graduation.
I guess in the lines of being able to pay for college, budgeting, what are common concerns that students have or questions they have about each of those?
A lot of the time we meet with students, what we do is we'll sit down with students and we have face-to-face, if they're here on the Logan campus, they can come and meet with me. Or we also have coaches, financial coaches, that meet with students via Zoom. So we're open during the day, down into the evening hours, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. And we'll sit down and have a one-on-one session with a student, and we'll basically map out their finances for them. We'll talk about their income, how much they're making each month, how much they plan to make in the summer, if they're going to not go to school in the summer. And so we'll map out their income over the next 8 to 12 months. And then we analyze and look at all of their expenses, their monthly expenses, their rent, periodic expenses like tuition and things that come up every now and then. And so we'll map out their expenses also. And our end product is we'll have this really nice Google spreadsheet that we'll give to the student. And it shows them basically about how much money they're making each month, any given month, and then how much they're spending. And it shows them basically their balance, their current balance. And so if they're going to run out of money, we'll know months in advance what month, you know, in March they're going to run out of money, so that then we can talk about what things could we do now to mitigate that, so that if they need to cut some of their expenses or do they need to work simply 3 more hours a week, they can know that right now and be able to go through school. And ideally the fun thing is we'll sit down with students and do this, and they'll be able to see if they did just a little bit more here or spent a little less there, they wouldn't even need a student loan in the upcoming semester, things like that. So in a nutshell, that's basically what we do.
That's very fascinating. It reminded me of when my dad, before I came up to college, he also sat me down and he's like, all right, here's your income, here's your expected expenses. And I remember being, oh my gosh, this is so boring. But it definitely helped later on when I had a more fixed income and I wasn't working just hourly, but
yeah. It can be boring until you're in the thick of it and you're realizing, oh, do I have enough money to go on that vacation in 2 weeks? Can I commit to it, or am I going to be short?
Yeah. Once it's relevant, you're like, wow, this is so fascinating.
Yeah, exactly.
So why should students start caring about establishing money habits now?
Well, a habit is basically an automated action. Mm-hmm. And so when you create a financial plan, basically you have a goal, you want to graduate from college. And so you'll create your plan, this monthly plan, how much money you want to spend on food, on rent, and on fun. And so you can map out this plan. But unless you take the actions for those monthly, how much you're going to spend and earn, if you don't do those actions, the plan will not succeed, which means then the goal may not be successful. So if you really want to be successful, the more actions that you can automate, then the higher percent chance that you will actually fulfill that plan. So if you have a plan, for example, to only spend $50 a month on fun, if you have an automated action that helps you accomplish that goal, then it'll be highly successful. So for example, I like to tell students to create an extra checking account, and they label it fun. So they get their own debit card for this checking account, and to do an automatic transfer from their main checking or their savings into this separate checking account that they label fun. And so by doing that, They no longer have to remember to go to the ATM and pull out money for fun. They don't have to remember how much money did I spend last week on that date or going out, because the money just automatically gets put into their fun account of $50. And so before they go spending to go have fun, to go on a date or go out for the evening, they just look at the app and it tells them they've got $20 left. And so now they know, oh, I've only got $20 to spend until next month when I get my next allotment of $50. So the more actions you can automate like that, giving yourself a preset amount of money that you can spend on fun to help you stick to your plan, you'll just it'll become such a higher percent chance that it'll be successful.
I'm just thinking about my own budget. I just use an Excel sheet and thinking how much easier it would be if I do what you just said. Be like, wow, I'm pretty good at being aware of my expenses. I like usually have a check-in every week, but I'm like, that'd be so much easier.
It
than
is
like
so
keeping
much easier.
Track. I'm like, oh, I got this and this.
Yeah, you can either keep track of what you spend and realize that 99% of people don't do that well. It's tedious, so they stop doing it. So you can either do that plan, or you can just pre-allot yourself a certain amount of money and then know that that's how much you can spend.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah, it's kind of like dieting. What's easier? Is it easier to just kind of eat each meal and try to remember, oh yeah, how many calories did I eat that past meal? So when it comes to dinner time, can I eat that dessert or not? Well, I don't know. Whereas if you sit, make your plan beforehand and say, okay, I want to eat this plate of food for breakfast and this bowl of macaroni for lunch, and pre-plan how many calories for the day, then it's easy to go and just eat those meals and you don't have to worry about, what did I do in the past?
That's awesome. So I know, so you do help with the budgeting for like monthly as well as like a year-long budget, but you also help with debt repayment, like helping students build plans for repaying student loans. Is that correct?
We do. Most of the time, the students we meet with are first year, second year, or the last year. So they're really not quite to that debt repayment. But however, we do meet with students who have debt, who have racked up credit card debt.
Okay.
And so those students we meet with and help them, because you know, credit card debt, you're at 15% to 30% interest is what they're paying. Whereas student loan debt, you know, this year student loans, the interest rate is 3.7%. So very small. So if we ever have a student that has debt, we always look at, you know, the amount of debt, the interest rate, and help them really pay off those credit cards, because that interest will, it will eat you up.
Yeah, I do remember that lesson from my dad as well.
Yes, good.
What advice do you have for students in general, or what's something that students generally don't know that you wish they did know? And it could be, I guess, could be about budgeting or money in general or investing.
So three things, I guess. One thing, a lot of students I meet with, they don't know a lot about credit cards. And so we talk to them, we explain to them how a credit score is created, how it is. A lot of students think erroneously that you should get a credit card and then put lots and lots of charges on it and then pay it all off, and that bumps up your credit score. But in reality, 30% of your credit score is based on something called credit usage. And so if you use more than 30% of your credit limit, so say your limit is $1,000, so if you ever have a balance of more than $300, that actually hurts your credit. The credit card companies, the credit bureau, they like to know that you've got $1,000 available to you, but if you only use like 6% of it, $60, then they say, oh, you're really good with your credit. You're fantastic. So just explaining to students how credit works, how the credit scores are there. So I actually do encourage students to get a credit card if they're wanting it to build credit. I always tell them, you know, don't buy lots and lots of things with your credit cards, because studies show that those who buy things with credit cards end up spending more money than if they used a debit card. So I tell them to, if they're going to get a credit card, to be strategic about it. And I like to tell them to just use it to buy one thing. And that one thing is, if they have a car, to buy gasoline. And that's it. If they don't have a car, which many of our students don't, I tell them to, you know, pay your Spotify subscription with it, your $5 a month. That's a wonderful thing. It gives you something to pay for each month, keeps the balance low, And so you're building credit over time by just using a small little charge. So that's one thing a lot of students have questions about. What I wish every student would know is simply when you spend less than you earn and then invest the difference. That really is the key to getting ahead. If you keep your expenses low and your income above that, the difference, you just invest. And over time value of money, compound interest, it just adds up and you'll be doing really well.
That's awesome. I actually really like my finance, like talking about that part and like investing in my finance classes. Like, wow, this is interesting. It's not that hard. It
yeah.
doesn't have to be scary or complicated.
That's right. Yeah.
Awesome. I think I covered all of my questions, but was there anything you wanted to bring up about just as a plug for the center or anything?
Well, I would say, you know, any soon graduating student, you know, when you do get your job offer, first, you know, don't be afraid to go back to the offering entity and negotiate a little higher, because obviously they want you to work for them.
Mm-hmm.
So don't feel bad about going back and saying, you know, can you raise it $4,000? And you'd be surprised. And what they could either say, no, I'll just keep it at the offer, or you actually could get the higher amount. So that's one thing. The other thing is always, if your company that you're working for has a 401k that they offer, and they do any kind of a match, say a 3% of your salary, 4%, you always want to do that match. So if it's 4% of your salary, put in your full 4%. Because in essence, that's a 100% return on the amount of money that you put into that 401k that your company is matching. And you can't beat 100% return in a single year. So you always want to do that full match. And then the other thing is, so often, as people start to earn more money, they just start to spend more money. So if you really want to get ahead after you graduate, the key is, well, keep living like you were as a college student, even just for a few years, and sock that money into a solid, you know, your 401k. After you do your company match, I like to tell students, then max out your Roth IRA. You can put in $6,000 a year. So put that in. And then if you have more money, then you start looking at just investing in taxable brokerage accounts.
Awesome. This is very informative. The real reason we did this was so I learned more.
Well, good. You can come to our center and we'll give you a one-on-one
excellent.
Free
I might,
appointment.
I just might. You never know. I consider myself somewhat educated, but I definitely don't know everything.
Well, nobody does, so that's
yeah.
good.
It's always room to grow.
That's right.
Well, thanks for joining us on our podcast. We're sad Dan couldn't be here, but do you want to tell people where they can find your website or who they can contact if they have questions?
Yeah, you bet. They can just go to usu.edu/SMMC. That stands for Student Money Management Center. And there you can book an appointment with one of us, whether it's a virtual appointment through Zoom or a face-to-face appointment with me here on the campus of Logan. Either way, we meet with statewide students. I meet with students out of state. In-state, you name it, and we are just a free resource for USU students.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. And we'll see everyone else online.